Good morning, brothers and sisters in Hamilton Church. Happy Sabbath. Shabbat Shalom. I am impressed with your welcome and your warmth, with your place of worship. So nice and neat and beautiful. And what I love also is this emblem, three angels still. Yeah. That is just so wonderful. I am so glad to be able to be with my friend Maria, and I know Maria Franic, and I met Peter, Brother Peter, his wife earlier before, and Sarah. Sarah is soldiering on for Christ. I saw her being on the team of the literature evangelists, young people. You came when, the camp meeting at Abide Center. So you are blessed, and I'm sure that apart from you that are here, God has another 7,000. Even though population is 9,000, I understand. Yeah, God has his people in this town, be certain of that. And he's looking after them. He will bring them in his time. Yeah. I just want to share with you. I shouldn't be long. It's almost midday. Okay. All right. Thank you for allowing me that. Yeah. And I also have to pass on the greetings from Brother Neil and Jen Donnellan. They send their greetings to Hamilton believers. So, I said to him, I promise, and I got a note here. Just okay. He's going to Philippines this coming Wednesday with loads of insulin. As you know, he's got a wonderful mission that he's doing. Yeah. I am a person that God called into prayer ministry. So I'll be talking about prayer and sharing some testimonies, personal testimonies, and testimonies of other people. But we will also be in the Word of God, of course. I want to thank you, thank our pianist today and the singer that God blessed with a wonderful gift of singing and playing the music. My husband was I'm a widow now. He was a church organist. And, so music is very important in my life, even though I can only sing a bit.
I was standing beside your sister. You sound much better than me.
Right. So there is no children's story. I was prepared, but that's okay. We are all children of God, so we will get into serious things, more serious things. When one says, "Our Father who art in heaven," what are you thinking of? Lord's Prayer. Yeah? Our Father who art in heaven. So let's go to Matthew 6:9. Matthew 6:9. Open our Bibles. It's always good to have our sword. The Bible is the Word of God, sword of spirit. And open Matthew 6:9. This is actually the most prayed prayer in the Christian world, is it not? I remember when I came to Australia, and for a while I was working with the World Council of Churches. They were all very religious people. And every Monday morning we had devotional. We finished it with unisony saying the Lord's Prayer. And then that was kind of so neat. It was nice. Yeah. Chapter 6:9. In this manner, Jesus said, "Therefore pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So, because Jesus counts himself as our elder brother, he instructs us to call God Father, our Father. And Sister White often says, my Father, my God. So, which is much closer, is it not? But even calling him our Father is wonderful. And where is he? Where does he abide? Who art in heaven. And that is important to know today, because unfortunately, with the new age and all the other things that are around, God seems to be in everything, in everywhere. Pantheism is rampant. And we have to be aware of that. God does have his abiding place, his throne, his palace, and so on. And he is in heaven, and his name is holy, very holy, and should be revered as such. So when Jesus was praying, teaching, how did this prayer come into existence? Who requested? Who was listening to who praying? Apostles were beholding Christ and hearing his prayers so often that they came to this point where they said, please, will you teach us to pray? Teach us to pray. So prayer can be taught. Sister White says that prayer is the science. We can learn, we can expand our prayers. It's not recitation, it's not poems, it's not somebody else's written script to pray. So we can also learn to pray. And I do have a little book called With Christ in the School of Prayer from a writer, Andrew Murray, written in 18th century. Beautiful, beautiful piece of literature. With Christ in the School of Prayer. I don't know if it is available today, but yeah. Anyway, it's Holy Spirit actually that teaches us to pray. Yes, and not only that, but prays with us. And he is there to point us to Christ all the time. He is, we are still in the same chapter. Let's connect verse 10 to verse 33. At 10, it says, your kingdom come and your will be done. So it's the kingdom in question and God's will. And 33, what are we to seek first? The kingdom of God and his righteousness and all other things that we need, we will not be lacking. They will be added to us. So the kingdom of God. And we are here, actually, to expand, so to say, Christ's kingdom by preaching his gospel and pointing people to him as the only solution in this sinking, broken world. We shall now go to the Old Testament and look what the Lord tells us in Psalm 62:8. Psalm 62:8. Still connected to the topic of prayer. 62:8. Brother Peter, would you like to read that for us?
Trust him in at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us.
Thank you. Trust in him now and then. At all times, when in the valley, when on the mountain. through all situations. Trust in him all times. And not only that, but pour your heart out. Does this not tell us to tell God everything, good and bad, and everything in between? And no sugar coating. Be open. Yeah. Why should we lie to God, say, all is fine, thank you for this and that, and tell him what is on your heart and pour out. And oftentimes our prayers, I'm sure your experience is that they are saturated with tears too. God is our refuge, and we will need the refuge. We need the refuge. The world is hostile, and will be even more. We need the refuge. In Ministry of Healing on page 510, Ellen White says, in regard to prayer, that our petitions must not be faint and occasional, but earnest, persevering, and constant. Constant. And in another place she says that we often let go of God too soon. We start praying for something and say it, I don't know how many times, then we let go. Too soon. Too soon, oftentimes. We seem to be an instant generation. Tap, 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 I want this now. Click the button, you know, microwave thing. And we want it. But God wants to teach us to be earnest, persevering, and constant. That is the deep way of praying, is it not? And as I mentioned, it is really Holy Spirit that prompts us to pray. And he impresses upon us who to pray for, when, how, what situation, and all these things, if we are open and sensitive to the still small voice and observant, he will be impressing upon us what to do, how to do, and he will pray with us also. Yes. I want us now to go and into Old Testament, in the almost very beginning, and look at the man who was the man of prayer and prostrate for hours before the Lord. And let's go now and find this text in Joshua chapter 10, 12 to 14. Joshua. This prayer is composed only of 12 words. 12 words prayer. But the mighty result, something that is just supernatural. It was supernatural. Joshua 10, 12 to 14. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said, in the sight of Israel. So this is what he said, in the sight of the people, not secretly in his room. Oftentimes when we ask for something, we don't want anybody to hear, in case if it doesn't happen, said they don't say, your faith is not strong enough, or something is wrong because you didn't get it. But he said, in the front of the congregation, he said, son, stand still over, and he even asked God for the location where he wants the sun to stop moving. He said, sun, stand still, and the moon, where? Over Gibeon, and the moon in the valley of Ayalon. So he told in his prayer what he wants and where he wants it. Did it happen? Oh, yes. Heavenly body. God stopped when the servant of God asked, And of course, it was not a selfish prayer for any selfish reason. It was for the glory of God and for the victory for God's people. That was in question. And the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So, I don't know how much do we treasure the Word of God. I and my two friends, Marias, come from a country where there was a communism, and it was a system regime. And it was hard to get hold of the Bible. They were not Adventists yet in Yugoslavia, ex-Yugoslavia, but I was. And I remember I was waiting for my first Bible for 6 months or so, because they were printed in Britain by British Bible Society and then somehow smuggled into Yugoslavia to the Protestant groups. And then we would have to get them either from the Baptists or Nazarene or some other group. So we had to wait for our Bibles. Brother Peter asked this morning who read through the book Song of Solomons, but I remember that we were reading through the Bible every year. Everybody would read from cover to cover. It was just kind of normal thing to do. So the Lord is a great God. And when I was baptized, I was given my text on my certificate is from the book of Joshua 1:8. Yeah. So much about the Bible. We should really not take it for granted and be in the, and hold God by his word. Lord, you said it, I believe it. Yeah. On this story about Joshua, Spirit of Prophecy sheds some light in the book Patriarchs and Prophets. And I shall read it for us. The Spirit of God inspired Joshua's prayer. That evidence might again be given of the power of Israel's God. And don't get discouraged. There is God in Israel, and you and I, we are spiritual Israel. There is God amongst us. Hence, the request did not show presumption on the part of the great leader. Joshua had received the promise that God would surely overthrow those enemies of Israel, yet he put forth an earnest effort as though success depends upon the armies of Israel alone. He did all that human energy could do, and then he cried in faith for divine aid. The secret of success in the union of divine power with human effort. Those who achieve the greatest results are those who rely most implicitly upon the Almighty arm. The man who commanded, "Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon," and the moon in the valley of Ayalon, is, take the notice of this, is the man who for hours lay prostrate upon the earth in prayer in the camp of Gilgal. The men of prayer are the men of power. Little prayer, how much power? Little power. More prayer, more power. A lot of prayer, a lot of power. Yeah. So prayer is work. Even for us older people, 73 tomorrow. Don't tell anybody. Even if we can't go out and do many things, but we can pray. And that is work. And as we pray, even now on our beds, things will happen out there as a result. So it is work, work of God. Don't let anyone discourage you that you can't do anything. We can do. We can do great things we can ask him to do great things, and if we choose to believe. I just have to tell you a bit about myself and my dear mother, who was a prayer warrior. I was born in a beautiful part of the world, Bosnia, and which unfortunately became known later on when this war happened in the 90s, in which I lost my brother and my father. And then we moved to Croatia when I was 10, and there the Lord led my mother and our family into the truth. Through the sickness of my brother was epileptic. He would have fits and so severe that he would fall wherever, water, concrete, you name it. Through the search for healing, the Lord led us, my mother, into Seventh-day Adventist Church, and guess who the Lord used? God is amazing. Satan has to concede and acknowledge who God is and what is his true church. My mother was linked to a lady that practiced witchcraft. I mean, she tried everything that she could think of. When the child is in question, and mother's love knows no bounds. And it's a long story, but in the end, when my mom couldn't go any further, we came from Serbian Orthodox religion. And she still called upon God in the way that she knew. God, I can't go further, not a moment. Please help. I am at the end of, what is it that that's saying? The wits or something? Yeah. And Lord heard that prayer. It was maybe 5 words prayer. Just help, I can't. This is enough. This lady is telling me to do this and that and the other. I've been doing, she promised to heal my Peter, and he's not being healed. What now? Can't go anymore. And the Lord stopped this relationship with that witchcraft lady who said she was of Catholic persuasion. And she brought my mother to the front of the building, Seventh-day Adventist Church, and pointed to the building like this, and she said, "This is true God's church. And unless you find what your soul needs, and what you need here, you won't find it anywhere else. And you and I are finished. We're done." And she leaves my mother in front of the Adventist church and goes away. And that was the end of our relationship with that witch, which brought so much trouble upon our family. Yeah. Anyway, so my mom walks in and never walked out again. I mean, out of the church, well, out of the faith. And she did find, she was more spiritually hungry than perhaps needing that healing for my brother. She was like a driest sponge that you can imagine being soaked now into the water. Everything that was preached, she thought it was for her. No, nobody else, but just for her. And that's our start of our journey with the Lord. And I was the first one, actually, afterwards to be baptized, then mom and so on. And the Sabbath was the reason for my coming to this good country, to Australia. So that I had to stop my education. And in communist country, what do? Yeah. And I had an uncle in Australia who was willing to sponsor me. And the rest is history. So I'm very grateful that the Lord brought me here where we have freedom to worship. How long will it last? We will see. But we must take advantage of the time that we are in now and work in His power. So my dear mother, back to her and connecting her with Joshua. She, when we kids spread our wings and went our ways, they returned back to Bosnia from Croatia and planted on the farm and planted crops. And they had the field of wheat to be harvested. When I was a kid, they would use it with the sickle, do it with the sickle. Handful of wheat, cut it with the sickle. And then... but in the modern days, there was this man in that whole region who had the combine machine, and everybody depended on him. What he would do is go from the field to field to field, because everybody needed him. And it happened that he came to my mother's field on Sabbath morning. Was perfect day, because everybody wants perfect conditions. And then my mother and my brother, who was epileptic, they walked out and came to him, and she said to him, "You will not do my field today." And he said, "Didn't you wait for me?" And she said, "I need you badly, but you will not work on my field today. Today is the holy Sabbath day." And he said, "What does that mean?" She said, and then she recites to him the fourth commandment from A to Z. And she said, "This is what God says. This is what we keep. And there will be no work on my field today." And he said, "I don't know what's wrong with you. Why don't you just cross yourself and let me work? God will forgive you, And she said, "No, this is only over my dead body." And he said, "Look." And in the meantime, the villagers came. They saw something is happening. You know how nosy people get. And they came to hear. And they said, "Something is wrong with this woman. Why doesn't she?" Anyhow, she said, "Look. Not only that you will not do my field, but you will not work today at all." Oh. And he said, "What? What are you talking about?" She said, "Now I'll pray to my God, and He will send rain, and you will not work." And he said, "Rain? Where are the clouds?" And she and my brother knelt in front of that huge machine there and prayed to God in heaven to send rain so that the Lord be glorified and prove to that whole region she was the only Seventh-day Adventist in that whole region. And she prayed, and people looked and they thought, she's not with it. Anyhow, she prayed and believed. And within 10, 15 minutes, we lived in a mountainous, mountainous region. And the clouds appeared from over the mountain and came closer, full of rain, dark as, and covered that part. And the drops were not just dripping, bucketing. So much so that people ran away. And the man in charge, he ran to his vehicle, the car, and everybody was dispersed. Mom was standing in that rain. praising God, praising Him for His greatness, and the proof that today is the holy, the day was a holy day when we should not be working. So much so that that rain disabled him to work till Wednesday. And he came on Wednesday, and the first thing he came to my mom's door and knocked. And he said to, he came in and he said, "Now, Violet, Lyubica was her name, Violet, tell me about your God. Who is your God? Do you have any holy books? Do you..." He wanted Nell to know, because it was such a powerful, powerful testimony and event that took place. So she always had something with her, but she also was able to witness verbally. Semi-educated, barely able to read, but she had a gift of witnessing. She would just make friends and tell somebody, "Let me tell you about Jesus." He used her to bring into the faith 14 people. And most of them were actually her relatives, her mother, sister, brothers, who were staunch communists. And the Lord really used her and blessed her. And so Joshua, at his prayer, the sun stopped, at my mom's prayer, and I'm sure there are hundreds of stories like that, where God loves when we ask big things of Him. He is a big God. What we do, we often just ask little morsels, if that. Just in case, if it doesn't happen, what will people think? That my faith is not strong enough, or what's... Yeah. But let's ask big things of God. Then He gets big glory and praise, and we can pinpoint and say, this is what God did. He is big God. Let's not limit Him, and let's learn to ask Him. So, yeah. That was about my dear mom. God is saying harvest is plentiful, but there is a problem. No workers. And He said, pray to the Father to find and equip the workers so that the harvest can be completed, finished. So again, the key is prayer. Pray. He will find the workers, He will equip you and me, and the harvest, because every grain is precious, precious to God. Yeah. Luke 10:17, and this will be about my testimony, and then we will finish soon after that. Luke 10:17. Karen, can you read it for us, please?
Ten?
Yeah, 10. Yes, thank you.
Then the 70 returned, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name."
Right. So, again, the disciples, larger circle, they are now coming back and reporting to Jesus that the demons are subject to him, to them, I should say. Do you think that they could be subject to you and me when we pray? Yes, of course. Because we are dealing in God's power, to His glory. Jesus said, all the authority and power has been given to me. I'm giving it to you guys in Hamilton. Come on, go. Go and use my power, use my authority. But don't forget to give me credit for it, Jesus says. Yeah, and glorify me. I had a friend, a relative of my husband, who was Adventist kid, drifted away, trying to come back after many decades, and then didn't even know how to pray. So I connected with her, taught her to pray for 6 months. Every morning, 6 o'clock, we get on the phone. Margaret, please repeat that. I said, let's pray. I can't. Repeat after me. And so on. Anyway, she was linked to a lady who was reading tarot cards at the market. So whether she had it done to her, I didn't want to ask. And that lady was very successful at the market, money-wise. Yeah. She was from Belgrade. Her name was Rada. And yes, she had her stall in the best marketplaces by the river in Brisbane, actually. And the business was booming. And she was telling me, Margaret was telling me about this Rada. I said, Margaret, you can't be linked to her, first of all, and not say anything. And another thing, let's pray that she would not be deceiving people. And she said, how? I said, let's pray. So we prayed, and I asked the Lord to forbid the demons to deceive people through Radha and stop that nonsense. And so we were praying, and after a while, Margaret reports to me. She said, Radha said that business didn't go well today. That's Sunday, you know. The people were queuing up in front of other marquees for other ladies to read. And she said, they used to do it with me, and there is hardly anybody coming in anymore. She sits there ready with the cards and so on, but hardly anybody comes. And then less and less, and we persevered. And I said, Lord, bind the demons that are using Ada, liberate her, and then forbid them from deceiving people and getting money from, you know, to that effect. After a while, Radha was reporting crisis in her business more and more, but she's still, and Margaret wasn't telling her anything that I and her were praying. After a while, she kept on going, still hoping. One morning she had her table, all the cards were ready, waiting. Her marquee, her tent was placed by the channel, water channel, canal, river. And good spot, perfect, you know. And what happened then? As she was waiting and sorting this, all this sorted out and done, suddenly a wind came into her tent, collected all those cards off the table, got them from under the flap of the tent into the canal, into the water, and sank them to the bottom. Usually paper floats, but this was just like bricks. Sunk down to the very bottom of the water in canal. And when Margaret told me what Radha said to her, you know, and what happened, I said, can't you see the power of God? And tell her. I don't know, I said, I never met her, but you are now to tell her, you know, what God is able to do. And I don't know much afterwards what happened with Radha's business, but this was very powerful to me for my spiritual growth to and for Margaret to come back to God and to his church and return like a prodigal son, yeah. And so I just thought I'll share some things about God's greatness and tell you about what we've been doing in Ballarat Church. The Lord impressed upon me, being a prayer ministry leader, what he would like us to do with backslidden people. There are our people that just stop coming, and our kids, and actually some parents approached me and they said, after I had Sabbath school kids covered, with prayer and linked some people to call each other weekly and pray on the phone for a month, and then another person the other month, and so on. But then what to do with backslidden people and people that we want to see in the kingdom, neighbors and other, not necessarily our kids that have gone. And I was praying and asking the Lord, what would he have me do? The easiest thing would be, I give you a piece of paper, you pray for this person, you know that method. But then didn't impress me, and I kept on praying. And the Lord impressed upon me a prayer scroll. And I said, Lord, what prayer scroll? What do you mean? And then the Holy Spirit, of course, enlightens you what to do. And I shared that with a few ladies that are in my prayer group. And one lady said, then I thought, how will I make it from the paper? Every time you roll it, unscroll it, it can tear and so on. And this lady said, I'll make a paper a scroll for us. I said, how? From the material. And she did. So what we did, I'll show you a scroll that we made. And with that scroll, I went to my church, to the front of the church, during the announcements, and I told them what I made. And then I said, I will be in the foyer there. You come. Don't give me the names of the people that you want to be on the scroll. You come and put the names of all that you want to see in the kingdom of God, not only, as I said, our kids and friends, all. And then what we do with that scroll is every Sabbath after church service, and when musicians stop playing, people are exiting, a group of us comes to the front and we unroll this scroll before the Lord. And oftentimes we read Christ's crucifixion and plead the blood of Jesus for the people that whose names are on the scroll. And Karen, will you help me please show our scroll to your church? And I also brought with me a blank scroll for you as a gift to do something similar or as the Lord impresses upon you. Yeah, you unroll that side. Yeah, this is what we did. Jesus died for them. And we really take this seriously. We intercede for them. People came. And I also brought different colors of pens for you to write, permanent pens. So people filled in. There is about 200, close to 200 names on this scroll. And we, as I said, unscroll it before the Lord. We kneel or sit around it, and we plead the blood of Christ for them. Because it's hard to go through every name, but when we present them to the Lord as such, rely on Holy Spirit to follow them and to break the shackles and chains and bonds of all kinds, bring them to their senses and bring them back to Christ, which automatically will be bringing them to his church too. And then he will do that. And much more when we stand in the gap for them. And because we run Good Samaritan Center in Ballarat, we also have the names of the people of the from the community that come. They give us their names. We give them food that we collect from the food bank. And so the Lord impressed us to put their names. We have two separate scrolls. This is covering our... This is the first one. The second one is only the people that come through Good Samaritan Center. And we intercede for them. They are just taught, they don't know about, they know that we are Seventh-day Adventist Church, that we give food and we give literature out. We pray with some. They are confiding to us. They are opening. They are becoming friends. And then the Lord impressed upon me, why not put them on the prayer scroll and intercede for them as well? So we do that. And there is a blank scroll in here for this wonderful group of people here. And also set of different color pens. So if the Lord impresses you guys to do something similar, you're welcome. This is our gift of our prayer ministry from Ballarat to you. Yes, and your leadership. So see how the Lord what the Lord impresses upon you. But it is a very wonderful thing. I gave two people in Europe, two churches in Europe. I was there last year. And there are two or three in Melbourne in different places. There is a scroll in Maryborough. And now you have it. And about six or seven have gone out so far. Mentioning the Europe, I was going actually to show you the calendar. Sunday is the seventh day in Europe, almost officially, but not. Brother Peter, you can distribute this later on. It's a different thing. But this is the calendar in Europe. In Germany, I was visiting my brother, and it starts from Monday. First day is the Monday. Ends up with Sunday being the seventh day, and the red letter, red. And not only Germany, but European Union. So it will not be hard. It's already there. And I was shocked because our calendars are still good here in Australia. Keep them so when it happens that we have this situation, that we can still prove from the old calendars which is the right day. Many of them know it, but to honor the resurrection, they justify it that way. Yeah. So on this scroll, you can write the names of the people, whoever the Lord impresses you. It can be half of your town, if you like, or neighbors and people and schools and kids and you name it. If anybody needs a lot of prayer, is the children and the youth. They are under terrible pressure and temptations. The enemy is just, yeah. So, yes, that is my message today, and I'm not professional. This is not a classic sermon, but it is from the heart and what God impressed upon me to share with you. So may the Lord multiply you and bless you and revive you. We all need revival. We need to get out of this Laodicean sleepiness and slumber and get to work while there is still time and while we are still in this good country that offers us freedom. However long the Lord knows, may his name be glorified and may you be prosperous in the way that the Lord wants to see. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is just so wonderful to know that because of what you have done for humanity through Christ and now through Holy Spirit is just so amazing. The whole eternity will not be enough for us to find out the depth, the height, the width, the length of God's love for human race. So we want to thank you and praise you for what you have done and are doing and will do through all who are totally surrendered to you. My prayer for this beautiful congregation is that you, Lord, pour your Holy Spirit, give them double portion of your Holy Spirit, equip them and bless them and use them and expand the territory of Christ's kingdom in this town. We pray that you, Lord, fulfill your promise, which says that you will pour your Holy Spirit on all flesh. We pray for the people of Hamilton. May the merits of the blood of Jesus Christ be appropriated by Holy Spirit to every person that lives in this town and surrounding towns. Lord, you have placed us here where we are with the purpose. May our lives be fruitful. And why should we walk through the life like orphans when there is God in Israel? So we rely on this God who created heavens and earth, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We pray that in our brief lives, you will, Lord, produce much fruit because we choose to be connected to the true vine. And we will never forget to give credit and praise and glory and honor and majesty and everything, Lord, to your great and awesome and wonderful name, through Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.